2 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what service he rendered at Ephesus. Amen. First of all, I just want to say thank you for praying for Lisa. She's actually doing much better. And I know when I sent the email out in the morning, and right then she couldn't even walk to the shower. So she literally almost crawled because her leg and her hip was in so much pain. But she said during the shower, and this is when all the emails went out, and she got out of the shower, and she actually was feeling pretty good. And so she went to the doctor and got her treatment and everything, so she's doing much better. So, and then Leanne came over last night and prayed for her as well, anointed her with oil. And so we appreciate all the prayers and everything. So Timothy, this is a second epistle, obviously. This is what's typically known as the pastoral epistles. The ones before we read were the prison epistles, primarily when he was written in prison. He actually also was written in prison here, but the tone of the message is very pastoral, which would include 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. And so we have an occasion why Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to his sons, but it's something that the whole church should hear. And so that's why this is part of the canon. Very similar to 1 Timothy, it's the same structure. Now it's even simpler because it's just the prose and then the poetry and then the prose. And then that's basically how he's going to wrap this up. And the center of it all is actually 2 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. And most likely it was probably the hymn that was being sung during those days. But the central verse in all of 2 Timothy is actually verse 14. In chapter 1, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. The word there is guard who dwells in us the treasure. The treasure is another translation, is the good deposit. In other words, just like you put money in the bank, you deposit money, and you think the money is safe and the money is going to do stuff for you. In the same way, Paul is saying that this gospel, this message of God, this love of God, was actually a good deposit in you. And so in that context, he expects the deposit to return something. I mean, can you imagine you put your money in a bank and, well, actually these days it returns nothing. So the illustration doesn't go that far. But in that sense, that you should consider it to be very safe, and it should return something to you in that regard. And so that's what he's saying. In the beginning here, as he writes to Timothy, again, it's his introduction. He's just thanking God for having a clear conscience. And then he says something here, and which, you know, we're having our baby dedication service, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after that. And I think we're dedicating like 7 babies. and their families. And verse 5, this is why it's important for you to live a godly life today and why it affects tomorrow. And he says here, and he says, be mindful, or I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. We're talking about generational transfer. See, it matters something the way that you live your life today. And it's not just going to matter tomorrow, but it's going to matter years and years and years from now. It's going to matter in your next generation, the generation after that, and the generation after that. I was in Inner Mongolia, and I was talking to Pastor Nate and Matt's father. And we're just talking, and I shared so much during the time. I told you, I taught for like 21 hours in 3 days. And so in the midst of all the teaching, Pastor Nate's dad came up to me, and he started sharing me his story about his life. I'm sure you know this, Nate, all right? But when he was 3 months old, you know, his father was kidnapped, basically, by the North Koreans. And the last time he saw him, 3 months old. And just this crazy, you know, and he was a third or fourth generation pastor, right? Your dad. I think he was third generation. Nate's fourth generation. And then on Pastor Nate's mother's side, Nate is actually third generation, according to your dad. Maybe I know more than you. And so, but just, you know, I was just thinking, man, what an incredible heritage. Not just because they're pastors. That's not the end all for everything. But you can see the faithfulness of God. And, you know, no wonder God blesses him. No wonder he's a good kid. You know what I mean? It's like if I had, you know, at that age and I had daughters and, you know, I want them to marry Nate. Right, Monica? Right? So, you know, I mean, there is all kinds of, there's something quite significant about that. And then I know some of you guys are first-generation Christians. How many of you guys here are first-generation Christians? Right? Quite a lot of you. You know, and can you imagine, this is the legacy that you get to build. And some of us are actually living off and coming off the legacy of our family before us. And he says, man, I'm aware of your grandmother, of your mother, and I know that same thing is inside of you as well. And it's just really this uncanny thing. I can't really say I'm second generation because my parents and I, we almost got saved around the same time. And so, because I didn't grow up in church and, you know, with all that legacy and things. And so in many ways, I consider myself to be maybe one first generation or 1.2, right, if we're going to put these numbers to it. And I remember, it's a very spiritual thing because you don't really recognize. And I remember I was in our old building, the second before this one, you know, on DeVoe Road. Remember above McDonald's that we were at? We were really small then. And my dad came, and I asked him to preach on Sunday. And I think Head-On was translating that particular Sunday. And I saw my dad preaching. I never saw him preach before, because every time I go to Uzbekistan, I'm preaching all the time. And I saw my dad, and I was sitting in the front row, and I was looking, and I was so perplexed, because I was thinking, the guy preaches exactly like me. It's uncanny. Even he was like standing like this on the pulpit. He had his hand in his pocket. I mean, almost the exact same mannerisms as myself. And then, you know, I was tempted to say, the guy, he's copying me. You know, he must have saw me. And literally when I was sitting there, the Lord corrected me and says, no, you're your father's son. And it's just this spiritual, you don't really see it per se, or maybe you see in moments like that, but there is a spiritual transfer, a generational transfer that takes place. And so it's really something. You know, this is the reality, friends. When you talk about your next generation, your generation after that, and so on and so forth, you're going to pass something on. That's the simple reality. You're going to pass something on to your kids, to your kids' kids, to your kids' 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 kids, you know, and so on and so forth, less, if the Lord tarries. You're going to pass something on. Are you going to pass a legacy? I mean, let's think. Are you going to pass a legacy, or are you going to pass all your junk? Really? Are you going to pass this incredible spirituality to your kids like it was passed down from Lois and Eunice and, you know, and now Timothy, and this is why Timothy has what he has? Or are you going to pass all of your crap to your kids? All of your sin, all of your junk, you know, all of your devices, all of your diseases, I mean, just all of your mess. Are you going to, because you're going to, trust me, you're going to transfer something. You know, is it going to be a positive thing where there's going to be this rich legacy of spirituality and faithfulness in God and just amazing? Or are you going to be transferring all of your hang-ups? You know what I mean? All of your addictions and just all of the junk that you... That's why, man, this is the time. You know, the Bible writers talk about today is the day of salvation. And it's not... Salvation, the whole idea of salvation is not just going to heaven, but it's every part of your life saved and whole. And so, and this is the moment to act. This is the moment right now. I you guys figured out by now, I really like war movies, but I like grisly war movies. And so there's one particular movie, The Gladiator. You guys remember that? Russell Crowe. And in the beginning of the movie, he caught me from the beginning of the movie. And when he was going to his troops and he was like really rah, 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 and he says, "Gentlemen, what you do today will echo for eternity." I was like, ooh, I'm going to use that in a sermon one day. You know, I mean, not just today. But it's just what you do today, literally, right, not just echo for eternity, but it will echo to your next generation, your generation after that. Trust, when you have kids, it becomes so very clear, right? These days, we've been talking a lot about Hannah. And, you know, bossy little kid, this kid. I mean, seriously, bossy little kid. You know, and my wife and I, we're just looking at each other and we're just figuring out, is that you or is that me? Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not just me. Maybe 60%, 40% Lisa. But the personality, all these things come out. Imagine what happens on a spiritual level. You get to decide today. Isn't that the wonderful thing? Is we get to chart our own destiny in a way. And you could take this Christian life very seriously. I mean, you can really grab a hold of something, and then we get to pass this on. And this is not necessarily just to your natural kids. I mean, people that you're around. You get to transfer, you get to pass on the anointing of God that's happening in this place. And this is this was Timothy's blessing of God, right? This is our blessing as well. You know, that's why this whole thing with the Vision Fund and all the stuff, the fundraising we've been doing for the last 3 years, this is why it's so important. At the end of the day, it's not really for us. It's not really for you and me to enjoy. You know, I mean, we'll enjoy in a part, but the sacrifice that we lay down today will bless our kids and our kids' kids. I mean, you look at, like, you go through Hong Kong, especially here, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were just talking about churches and different things, and, you know, it was you know, those guys, lucky guys, 100 years ago, you know, they came out and actually came and bought land and built, and, you know, and it's still exists today, and it blesses people today. That's what we want to do, right? We want to build a legacy. We want to help not just ourselves, but our kids' kids, right? And our kids' kids' kids. And to really see God really do something. That's what we're saying, hey, let's sacrifice now. You know, let's give of ourselves now. And, I mean, what a blessing it will be. And you may not see it in your lifetime, but that's what faith is really all about. And so, and then verse 7, which is a very well-known, very famous verse, it says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power in love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of being scared, of weakness, but he's given us a spirit of power and love. And the word discipline is other, better translated, sound judgment. This is God's gift to us. And so in that sense, as a believer, there should be a boldness within us. We're not meant to live life fearful and timid and afraid of things that are coming around us. There should be a boldness because God's given us power. We have that. We have access to that power in God, in the Holy Spirit. And so he's also given us the spirit of love. And we can operate out of that place. And that's really where the power comes from. And then he's given us a spirit of sound, a sound judgment. We can have discernment, and we can be aware, and we can have understanding, and we can operate, you know, out of wisdom that God gives to us. It's powerful how this is laid out for us. God does not give us a spirit of timidity. And this is, I mean, this is something that I try to practice personally. If there becomes a situation in my life and something that I find myself to be a little fearful of, usually it's not big things. It's actually very little things. I stop. I pray right there on the spot. I just say, Lord, I don't know what's causing this fear. I just right now, I break it right now in Jesus' name. For instance, the day before yesterday when Lisa fell, she actually fell right in front of me, and I was carrying two bags, and we're rushing to pick up the kids from school on Monday. And if you remember our apartment, you know, from the elevator, it's the one step and it's the other flight. And then she tripped like the third step and just face plant. And she was holding Hannah, and so, you know, good mom, right? She just shielded Hannah. So Hannah was fine, but she hurt her elbow, her knee, her hip. And afterwards, I put her in the car, and I was, you know, checking out her elbow. Is it broken? You know, his knee, and everything seemed okay. But then she started getting nauseous, because probably some inner ear thing going on at the same time. And I started, fear started rising up in me, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. You know, and I was thinking, like, what am I going to do if my wife's not around? You know, what's going to happen if you know, or what if she's paralyzed? You know, you have these crazy ideas, right? What if she's paralyzed? And then we actually went somewhere, and she was walking, like, so slow. It was, like, unbelievably slow. And so we're waiting, and I was like, what if this is, like, the rest of her life? She walks like a grandma, you know, and these thoughts come, and I had to just stop. And probably like three times during the day, once when we first got in the car, I had to just stop and say, no, in Jesus' name, my life is not marked by fear. And I just prayed. And then when we got to the mall, you know, prayed again after I saw the slow walk. And I think, oh, is this that's going to happen? I said, no, in Jesus' name, my life is not marked by fear. This is just irrational. But these things will happen in our life. You'll encounter situations, and the enemy will want to come in and plant something within us. And it's important that we stand firm, especially during those times, that we don't even give access to the devil to begin to play mind games with us and, you know, all kinds of different things. As soon as you see that happening, as soon as you recognize it, stop and stand and pray right there. Right, because he's not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and sound judgment. And so he continues on, and like I said, the central verse is 13 and 14, more 14. He says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you, the good deposit. This is what God has placed in every single one of us. He's placed in us a good deposit, his life, his son, the treasure of God, the mystery of the gospel. And you'll notice something about Paul and other guys that are writing in the scriptures. There's this sense of this treasuring. There's this sense of just the grace of God on their life, because they take what God has given to them And it's such a blessing in their life. I've been reading a lot these days, and right now I'm reading about Martin Luther, and just about the Reformation a little bit, and just trying to just grasp a handle of it. I was trying to understand it kind of in a spiritual warfare mentality, because, you know, the Reformation with the Protestants, we protested. So I was like, is that sin? You know, I'm just giving you an insight into my crazy mind. It's not, by the way. It's my conclusion at the end. But Luther is really an interesting part. When he wrote his 95 thesis on the Dor Wittenberg, that was actually a very common practice during that time. It was open for discussion. And when they nailed their thoughts, and it wasn't like he was pronouncing something. It was actually he nailed it for discussion, and he wanted to dialogue about these 95 errors that he felt was happening in the Catholic Church, in the modern church at that time. And so he didn't mean to incite the riot and all these kind of things. And one of the main aspects that really turned him off is the priests that were coming out of Rome, and they would come into Germany and into other places, and just the lack of sincerity, and in his own words, the lack of honoring the priesthood. Basically, these guys came from Rome, and they just took their jobs very flippantly. And as a priest studying himself, he just saw that, and he said, that's despicable. And that was one of his theses that he wrote about. And it was just, and then it was a whole other theological thing that happened. But it was that idea when he saw these priests that didn't consider that they had a treasure. Do you know what I mean? He saw them, and they were so flippant, and they were so, so didn't care. They didn't really understand the treasure that they had. And so they served people, and they did their ministry very badly. And for Luther, a devout man, he just could not stand that. And they didn't realize the treasure and just the honor they were given to be partakers and to be deliverers of God's word. And it really repulsed him. And that was really one of the major emphasis that Luther went out of his way to begin to write through these 95 theses. I mean, it's just really interesting. If you have time, you should read it. It's actually quite interesting how the birth of our church came about. And in that same way, Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, guard through the Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Listen, friends, God has given you something precious. He's given you the gift of His Son. He's given you open eyes into the mystery of God. I'm going to talk about it in this week's coming up. But remember in Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's saying the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel. In that same way, and so if you would take that in the context, that means we have been blessed to have this lens taken off of us. And now we can see. What a gift of God. How many people in this world are in darkness? How many people in this world are blind to the truth of God? But God predestined with His foreknowledge, He saw fit to reveal Himself to us. What a blessing of God. It's not our will. It's not our mind. We talked about it on Sunday. It is by grace that we have been saved. It is the gift of God in our life. So no one can boast. And in that sense, so God has taken off the lens of our eyes. He's entrusted us something. So guard what has been entrusted to you. Don't just give it away so easily. Right? That one night stand, it's not worth it. You know, whatever you do, it's just not worth it. It's not worth being separated from this incredible, precious relationship that we are honored to have with God. So guard this treasure within us. Don't take it flippantly. Regard it with a sense of honor. Like I shared on Sunday, there's something, in this whole idea of in the service and serving. You don't have to, but you get to. What an incredible privilege of God that you get to serve Him. that you get to minister to other people in His love, that you get to serve the body, that you get to go buy refreshments for the church and feed people afterwards. Yeah, I mean, all these different things. What a blessing that you get to greet people and share God's warmth, you know, early Sunday morning or afternoon or in the house church. You know, you get to sing songs to the Lord in praise and honor. You get to do all these things. What a privilege. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Make sure you do that. Because see, there's guys like Phygelus and Hermogenes who didn't do that at all. They didn't guard, and so they fell away. In fact, it's quite sad here in verse 15. And it gives you an idea of the spiritual climate of Asia. He says, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom were... And Paul probably mentioned this because these are probably friends of Timothy's. You know, all these guys, man, they turned away. And this is what happens. Don't be one of those ones that turn away. Don't be one of those ones that has this treasure in an earthen vessel and decides because that girl is too pretty, right, or that evening is too tempting, you know, or whatever, to throw all that stuff away. It's just not worth it. It just isn't. So guard. Guard. This is a military term, right? This is something that you need to intentionally focus yourself in doing. Guard your heart. Guard your eyes. Guard your emotions. Guard these things. Don't put yourself in situations where you can turn away. Guard these things in God. Find accountability. Wrap yourself in God's word, right? Have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Do something to protect the treasure that's inside of us. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you on a couple of different fronts. One, on this issue of legacy. Are you doing everything you can right now to ensure the success of generations after you? And I'm not just talking about your natural kids. I'm talking about even in your church context. Are you doing everything you can now in your house church that ensures the success of other churches that will be multiplied from your house church? Are you ensuring success for so many things for the next generation and the one after that? As people that are having kids and contemplating having kids, are you passing down and transferring a legacy of faithfulness, a legacy of spirituality, or a legacy of brokenness and sin? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance and inner healing. Today is the day of a transformation. We pass on good things. And on that side as well, are you guarding what God has given to you? Areas of blessings, are you guarding these things in your heart? And making sure they have a good return for their labor. And as we sing, let's meditate, ask the Lord to speak to us. Thank you. Let's pray this morning. Let's ask the Lord to begin to stir our heart to think not just for today, but think for the many tomorrows that are coming. That as God gives us today, this precious time now, that we would use it well. Not just thinking about what we get for today, but how we can build a legacy for the tomorrows. If God is convicting you to get healing or dealing with you about particular things that are on your heart or maybe some areas of brokenness, I want to encourage you to pursue that avenue. And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning about the next steps for you to ensure that you're building a legacy. Let's pray together this morning. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would just begin to move and heal, especially all of our friends and family are going through different illnesses and diseases. Let's pray that God would just come through and begin to move upon their hearts and their lives. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for those that are ill, but more than that, that need to hear the word of the Lord. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them, and let's pray that the God of this age would just be broken, and that the eyes would see the truth of the gospel. Pray for an unveiling over them right now. Let's also pray for our community over various other illnesses in and around them. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Pray for instant healing in their life right now. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God's hand to open up to them and provide, and they'll use their time well right now, drawing close to the Lord. And let's just pray for breakthrough in their work. Let's pray in our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh, in his ministries. He's in Cambodia right now. He'll be there for a month doing various leadership trainings. Let's pray for anointing as he ministers. Let's pray for New Life Church and Pastor Tang. Let's ask God's hand to be with them, especially as they expand their evangelism clubs. Let's pray for the Centerpiece Orphanage and praise God that from one of the birthday parties a couple weeks ago, we're able to raise some money and send it over to them. And so let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for Grace Chung and the work at Bloom. And I know they had quite an encounter the other day ministering to one of the moms. And let's pray for all the different connections, the girls that they minister to, their families, their sisters, that are still remarkably getting sold into slavery. Let's just really ask God's hand to be with them and just give them the grace and strength to endure the things that go on a daily basis. Let's also pray for the Philippines, pray for our clinic and Elder Chang, and pray for Bhutan, and ask God's hand to be with them. Pray for our church ministries. Let's lift up all of our frontline warriors. Let's pray for the IP team, all the members, and pray especially for Matt as he leads. Let's pray for Cascade and all the counselors, and let's pray for protection over them and their families, and let's pray for real anointing as they minister, bring people into healing. Let's pray for Rachel as she leads, and pray for the well. All pray that as they minister and pray, that healing would just flow out of them, that God would just bless them in that anointing, that gift. Let's pray for Larry as he leads that ministry as well. Let's pray for house churches meeting this week at Causeway Bay, Kennedy, Robinson West, Shawton, and Happy Valley. We basically have three more weeks of house church. Let's pray that we would finish well, that God would just really have his hand upon us, and that tonight, and as we talk about spiritual warfare, that people will really share out of their hearts, and there will be a real connection with one another, to each other, and also to the Lord. And let's just lift them up. And lastly, let's pray for our auction this coming Saturday. Let's pray for, just really thank the Lord for so much participation. We have so many incredible gifts and things that people have donated, their resources, their time. Let's really, really thank God for that. And also, let's pray that people would come out and that people would be very generous, that this would be a very fitting close to 3 years of fundraising. And that the people of God would really celebrate his generosity in the way that he's blessed us. And let's pray that we just have a lot of fun together, just that it'd be, you know, it'd be just such a wonderful end to 3 years. And so let's just pray for the auction this Saturday. Father, we thank you for the treasure, Lord God, that you entrust us with. Lord, help us to guard, God, with all of our heart, God, to guard and consider and honor, Lord God, and what you've given to us. Help us in everything that we have, God, that we would use it wisely, Lord, that we would be careful and that we would honor you in it, God, that it would not just affect us, God, but affect generations after us. So thank you for, God, this message this morning. Lord, seal in our hearts, God, and let it live and breathe now, and that our lives will be transformed by it, God. So we thank you. Watch over us today. Help us to give glory to your Son, Jesus, in all that we do, all that we say, all of our attitudes, our mindsets. Thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to bless your Son today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. And enjoy the rest of your prayer time.